This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first Resource Centre for the year 2018. My name is Majida Hashim, and as a fresh new start, many companies have set targets on what they want to shoot for the new year and planning strategies on how to get there. No matter what industry you are in, public relations is something that every company needs to pay attention to, as it is literally about putting your best foot forward. Perspective Strategies is an award-winning, full-fledged strategic communications and issues management firm with services in public affairs, brand communications and stakeholder engagement, and have recently made headwaves in the Malaysian public relations scene following their acceptance in the Public Relations Global Network, PRGN. So who better to talk about PR trends as we move into 2018? We have in the studio with us today, Andy C. Andy is the Principal Partner and Managing Director of Perspective Strategies. Welcome to the studio this morning.
Thank you, Majida. Glad to be here.
So before we jump into the trends for 2018, what do you think were some of the more interesting trends that happened in 2017?
I think some of the interesting things would be something even along the lines of my own industry, the public relations industry. Many PR agencies and even PR academics are now debating whether the word public relations is the right way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So some of the global PR agencies are even calling themselves marketing services, branding themselves marketing services or you know, strategic communications, you know, trying to fit into the changing trend. You know, the problem was in the past, many people equate public relations to media relations alone.
Mm.
And in that sense, you know, that's why there is now this trend of many agencies trying to rebrand, because there's so much changes in the way companies and people communicate. You know, so the whole transformation of the digital landscape, the traditional media as it is, has changed. So in that way, I think it's very important that we fundamentally relook what how we define PR. Mm. So there's a perception issue out there. But if we look at it from a real classical definition, you know, PR is still PR. It's how you build that relationships with the publics. Mm. But of course, the way in which we communicate has totally changed. You know, just like how in the past we pick up a phone, it's a single-way communication.
Yeah.
Today, it's multi-channel, multi-ways.
Of all the apps that you have in your phone, all these ways to reach me now.
Yes. So in that sense, I think how we build that relationship with the publics is different. And it's a lot of personalization as well. You know, in that way, you know that people are even questioning, what do you mean by mass communication in today's context?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about one-to-one communication. But of course, comes in multi-channels and multi-form.
What are some of the more unique trends you saw that happened in 2017?
I think some of the more unique trends would be, of course, I think many companies are now able to communicate with their consumers more directly, more intimately, more casual. You know, even the most formal brands of the world now will now be more open to having more casual conversations with their consumers. I guess it's also because the generation that we are talking to, the millennials, will be making up 50% of the workforce by 2020. Obviously, they have the biggest buying power moving forward. So the way we communicate with the millennials are totally different from the rest. So in that sense, you can see many brands are taking a more informal channel, you know, going to Twitter, going to Instagram, and so forth. In the past, you see CEOs in suits, but now they all take out their suits, no ties. It's how the entire way of how we communicate has totally changed. And this is one very interesting trend that we've seen, not just in 2017, but I think we've seen it starting a couple of years back, but it's getting more and more, where you see that there's less formal channels. You know, companies don't need to write formal letters to customers. You know, you don't get that much anymore. You need to communicate with your customer. You tweet the latest information, you put out on your website. So that's what the real change is happening. You can see it, I think, in one of the Global Transformation Summit, Richard Branson cut off the street industry jealous tie. So in a sense, that's what you're going to see. What you're going to see now and moving forward is that there will be less and less formal in terms of the communication that's going to take place between consumers and their and the brands and brands with other brands. So that's what's going to be something that you will see more.
So now, since we've already dipped our toes into it, we have a list here of some of the trends in 2018 that we're going to talk about. So the first trend is that internal communications will start to become more important. Internal communications. Why is this?
I think internal communications is a real game changer in the communications landscape. I think more and more brands now realize that brands are built from inside out. Reputation is something you earn from your external stakeholders. In that regard, we all know now that, you know, how important it is that when we want to build a brand, you got to start from the core right within the organization. And you can see that across all the big brands of the world now, how much emphasis they give to building their own brands from within the organization, because the employees, the team members have got to embrace what the meaning of the brand is so that they can deliver on that brand promise. In that sense, so it's very important that we focus on that. And another reason why this is so important is that we realize as well, consumers now rely a lot on peer-to-peer sharing and hearing from people of a particular product or brand. What more from the employees of that organization that itself? If I hear that someone works in that organization and tell me things about how great that brand is, there's more probability I'll believe in that. So in that sense, you know that there are also now employees are also the best ambassadors to talk about a brand and what it means to consumers. So in that sense, you can see that being a very, very important element moving forward, be it for a bigger brand and even more so for smaller brands. Because for a small organization, you know, anyone that says anything about a brand and who's from that organization, it means a lot to the outside world as well.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, if a company has like 200 people, then they can have an ambassador team. But if a small company, say, has 20 people, every single one of them has to be an ambassador already.
Yes.
So in that sense, the responsibility of internal communications, where should it sit? Should it be a HR thing or should it be a brands, com, PR thing?
I think in terms of the implementation of the initiatives or activities, it could be in the form of HR or even in the communications department. I think it has to be shared, that load. However, the person that needs to steer internal communication or drive it, it must be from the CEO. It must be from the top. Because, you know, you need that whole thing, the whole communication to be an integral part of the entire corporate strategy. So in a sense, it must be driven from the CEO. But in terms of rolling out some of the initiatives and programs, then it can be shared between the human resources or in the communications department. I think that's something that can be shared, but it must be led from the top. In that sense, it makes it very important that the internal communication function, be it is resting in the HR or comms, must have a seat in the top management.
So another trend that we are seeing moving into 2018 is that media itself, how it's becoming multi-channel, integrated and social too. Is it important for companies to adopt multi-channel, having to manage all these channels for media, or is sticking to one really, really strong channel sufficient?
I think it's a matter of how we divide our resources. Obviously, in an ideal world, we do everything. But of course, for organizations that have limited resources, perhaps you need to focus. However, in today's context, it's really hard to say you want to do one single channel.
Yeah.
You really have to spend some resource in some of the multi-channels. For example, even in today's most traditional context, if I want to work with a newspaper is just not newspaper anymore. There is no single newspaper that only sells newspaper.
Yeah.
They have channels all across, be it digital, be it, you know, social. You know, so in that sense, when you work with them, you're going to work across channels. So in that regard, companies would also need to do the same. So I think a lot of things that we do for a particular channel can be replicated. And of course, we need to re-customize it and so forth. But it makes sense to use multi-channels. But it doesn't mean that we don't focus in a particular channel where it's where our customers are or where our target audience is. So that's where the focus is. But I think today we need to replicate some of our initiatives across multi-channel. And it's very important in order for us to succeed as well. For example, even if we work with, media relations is a bread and butter of many PR professionals.
Yeah.
for a PR professional to say that I only want to work with a media organization on just one single channel, I think it's very limiting. the ideal way is to sit down with that media organization. Hey, how can we cross the usage of what we're working together across the multi-channels? In that way, we will be able to reach out to more people and it's going to be more effective.
How does a company identify then what are their strongest channels that they should focus on?
I think we need to go back to the fundamentals, i.e. we need to map out our stakeholders.
Okay.
Identify who are the stakeholders that matter most to us. And then from there, we can obviously know what are the channels of communication that will reach out to these targeted stakeholders. But in reality is we know that, you know, most of us would have some form or rather of a digital presence. It's really hard to find individuals who have totally no digital footprint. So in that sense, I think we need to also have replicate that and have some form of communication via the digital platforms.
I've been speaking to NDC from Perspective Strategies about PR trends to look out for 2018. We're going to take a short break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about more trends. Stay tuned right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Resource Centre. My name is Majidah Hashim and in the studio with me today is NDC. He is a principal partner and managing director of Perspective Strategies. And today we're discussing about PR trends to keep in mind for the year 2018. That brings us actually to the next trend that more and more media channels are going to require payment. And when it comes to money topic, this is where a lot of companies going like, oh, it's going to be expensive, I don't have the budget. So how far can a company go with free analytic tools and just general social media instead of all these paid targeted ads?
Perhaps I'll take a step back. The media organization or media scene in Malaysia is getting pretty tough as well. So in that sense, we also had to take a look from the other point of view. Gone are the days where, you know, even in media organizations where the editorial has, you know, full say, they run everything without any form of payment. You know, it's all earned media. You earn your space.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And I'm sure many media practitioners will share that with me because, you know, it's tough. Many media organizations in Malaysia are going through tough time. They need to justify, you know, their existence with their shareholders. So what's happening is that there's a lot of consolidation. They're reducing their staff size and so forth. So in that sense, also, there is a need for them to bring in more revenue for the organization. Nevertheless, it also opens up a lot of opportunities. They are also more open to working with businesses and organizations to use multi-platforms. How do we make it more cost-effective? I think a lot of the digital platforms are still pretty affordable and it can be customized for the needs of customers. So in that sense, while there is huge challenges and there are going to be more paid platforms, but there is also more ability to do customization. In the past, in the old days, you either take one page ad or put a TV ad, you know,
and that's the end of it.
And those are huge investments.
Yeah.
But today with digital platforms, you can customize because there's a lot of ability for the media to put content on the various digital platforms, which doesn't cost them a lot, right? In the past, when you say a piece of newspaper, a newspaper, there's only a limited by pages, so they have no choice but to charge that amount of money. But today, via digital platforms, you can do a lot of customization, and in that sense, there's even opportunities for SMEs to work with media organizations to customize how they can reach out to their customers. So in that sense, moving forward, what you see as a trend is that it's really hard to draw the line between paid media, earned media, and owned media. In 2018 or moving forward, I think it's going to be a lot of how do we leverage on all these three platforms to push our brands out there.
I guess then it's the value. You're still going to pay for it, but instead of appearing just in the newspaper, you're appearing also on their Facebook page, also on their Instagram, also on their Twitter feed and things like that. So it's the value of the package because it's now multi-channel.
Yes.
So for companies who pay for this, how can they make the best out of paid or earned media?
Well, some you need to pay. There are still going to be platforms where you can earn the space. So I'm also a small entrepreneur, just like your listeners, many of your listeners out there. So when I started the firm 11 years ago, I don't have the money to also invest in paid channels. And until today, I don't really do that as well. However, what we can do is to be more creative in how we put our name out there, be it through thinking of how we can strategically put our name out there. So one of the things that I've done in the past even was to, for example, as a public relations agency, we need to put our intellectual or knowledge out there so that people can see that. So these are things that we do. So for example, we did a research on our own, partnering with organizations, do research that matters to the public, and we feed that out in one of our study. For example, we did a study about youth perspectives. Mm. What does young Malaysians do in terms of their communication habits, their brand habits? So through that research, we were able to earn a lot of, for example, media coverage. Mm. And that, again, gave us earned media space. Mm. And we don't have to pay for it.
Mm.
So in that sense, I think a lot of your SMEs, listeners out there, you've got to also sit down, think about it. How can I make my brand relevant?
Yeah.
And can put some newsworthy things out there so that my customers can also know about it.
Do you have any examples of companies doing really, really good effective PR that doesn't really cost much?
Of course, at some point in time, you need to pay if you want to go into the mass market. But I think if you look at a lot of the professional services firm, you look at a lot of the, if you were to say even Apple, when its beginnings, didn't invest a lot compared to the other bigger brands.
Mm.
You know, a lot of its initiatives were purely from earned media space. So in that sense, I would say even a lot of the Malaysian startups, when they first started, even the well-known ones today, didn't invest a lot in advertising and marketing, but it's purely because of the amount of good the word of mouth and a good name that they earn.
So this brings us to the next trend that we have, that talent for communication is getting harder to get. That is really difficult to get good communicators. What is the profile of a good communications candidate?
Because communications is changing so rapidly, with the profile of the staff would basically, they need to be agile, they need to be fast enough to adapt to the changing trends. And of course, they need to be strong in communication, be it written, verbal, and so forth. It's really hard to get that kind of talent.
Mm.
More so, you know, with communication being such an important skill for many organizations and many industries today, you will see everyone fighting for that small talent pool.
Mm.
So what's happening now is that you can see more and more organizations require this set of talent, and they're all fighting for the same talent pool. So it's going to be tougher because of that.
Mm.
What you see now is, in the past, you know, you won't see, for example, I mean, I will go a little bit extreme, accounting firm looking for people who are talented in communication.
Yeah.
But today you will see even accounting profession would require, you know, professionals who are digital savvy, who understands the digital landscape, who understands communication, because, you know, everyone can communicate and everyone needs to communicate today in today's borderless and multi-channel and very communicative world. So in that sense, everyone's fighting for that talent pool that we are looking at. So it's going to be tough.
So what are the skill sets that are really important for a candidate that is interested in communications?
So I think number one is that they have to be, you know, they got to keep up with the trends. So they need to know what's happening out there. I mean, general knowledge, ability to understand the situation or the landscape out there.
So savvy with current issues?
Yeah, savvy with current issues. Two, I think that person needs to be strong in communication, verbally or written. This is getting harder and harder to get among the talent pool. But I think the candidates need to really improve their verbal and also written communication.
This is fluency in the way they use language.
Language,
and things
like, it doesn't mean only English. Mm. It means whatever language that you need to be good at for that particular industry, you know, be it Bahasa, be it Mandarin, or be it Tamil, you know, but you've got to be strong.
Is knowing a lot of language an advantage?
Of course, obviously. And in this borderless world now, I mean, being a global market now, being able to have more languages would definitely be an advantage. For example, if you could do Mandarin, you're reaching out to a huge East Asian market. You know, English, of course, is the global language. But even Bahasa, it's we must understand, for example, even in the Malaysian context, it's more and more people read the vernaculars. So therefore, it's also important that, for example, Malaysians have very good Bahasa Malaysia written and also verbal, because that's where the market matters. There's a huge growing population that is very comfortable in Bahasa, and the way to communicate with them is also to have good and strong Bahasa.
For prospective candidates who are out there, they have the skill sets and they want to pursue communications. What do they have to look forward to in this position? What's great about being a communications specialist?
What's great is basically you're going to be in a profession or an industry that is actually very dynamic. It's never been through so much changes as it is now. As you all know, that because of technology, the communications landscape has totally changed. Media as it is no longer as it is. The whole media landscape has changed. You even hear media professionals telling you media as it is in the past is dead. You know, it's no longer just a sunset industry. Is dead. Mm. So in that sense, if there's no paradigm shift, even for PR professionals or media professionals, then, you know, you're going to be arcade. So in that sense, it's very exciting because there is a lot of opportunities, a lot of changes happening. But this is where we can really make a difference.
Mm. In this sense, then, do the younger millennial generation, then, do they actually have an advantage over people who have been seasoned in PR and communications for some time?
Yes and no. I mean, for example, yes, in terms of, you know, they are more savvy with the available tools and channels. But I think the senior professionals still have an advantage in terms of understanding the context.
Mm.
I think it's the merger of both that will really make a difference. So therefore, you will see more and more organizations trying to bring the more senior ones and the younger ones together.
Mm.
So you can merge those skill sets and create a better a pool or the synergy that comes along with this merger.
In the studio with me today is Andy C from Perspective Strategies. We're going to take another short break right now. Stay tuned right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Resource Centre. My name is Majida Hashim, and today I'm speaking to NDC from Perspective Strategies about important PR trends that we all should look out for the year 2018. The next trend we'll be talking about is that PR itself is rebranding and evolving. We started off with this. How is the PR landscape changing altogether?
Yeah, what you'll see now is that, you know, traditional PR as it is, it's just like media as it is, the traditional media as it is. It's no longer relevant if it stays the way it is. Like I say, in the past, most of the PR agencies, the bread and butter is just media relations. But today, even the media landscape has totally transformed. So if PR agencies themselves do not adapt and change, then they are going to have difficulty surviving through in the future.
Mm.
So in that sense, they need to change as well. So in PR professionals and even academics, because they're going to train the future PR professionals, need to really sit down and look at how do we then adapt and change to be relevant in the future.
Mm.
So that's why you see a lot of the global public relations agencies now looking at, you know, redefining their services, to call it marketing services.
Mm.
It could be reputation building and so forth. But ultimately, they were previously PR agencies. And agencies that are able to adapt well and fast has actually made a lot of progress and impact in the marketplace.
So, but this is not just PR companies that are rebranding and transforming what their purpose is, but these are actually also, this also applies to PR departments within companies itself, that they also need to rebrand and look at what they do. How does a PR department within a company evolve or rebrand itself to make itself more relevant to the market that we have today?
That's precisely a very good point. Yeah. So it's not just professional firms, PR departments themselves. Yeah. So if PR departments want their CEO or want their top management to take them seriously, they definitely need to evolve and change. For example, if they were just going to stick to their old description of only doing news releases.
I'm only going
to
do press releases.
Yeah, I'm only going to write press release. I'm only going to write the speech for the chairman. They'll be gone. There is no relevance to keep that department moving forward. So they have got to adapt. They've got to make themselves more relevant. For example, they've got to now go back to the drawing board, see who are the stakeholders that the organization needs to communicate with. They've got to come up with the strategy, how we're going to do it. Now, the channel in which how we communicate, it can be something that we can work along the way. But, you know, it's all about planning. It's all about the strategy. It's all about how do we then adapt our communications and make it relevant. So, for example, we talk about internal communication. For PR department to say that we only do news release and speech, but we don't do internal comms work, it's going to be a huge disadvantage for the department. So, in that sense, they've got to share the workload, work with the top, see how that they can engage employees and use employees as an ambassador of the communication.
So internal and external communications, should they sit together or should they be in two different teams?
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. And it really depends on the organization itself. Having said that, internal communication and external communication needs to be working hand in hand. Whether it's managed by one person or two person, I think that's something that we've got to see how the organization is. But they've got to sit together and make that strategy singular.
So that's why I say,
that's why I say that it has to be driven from the top. So for example, if there's two person implementing internal communication and one implementing external communication, but when it comes to the strategy and the plan and to make sure whether the messages are consistent, that is got to be driven from the top. You know, the CEO has got to be there looking at the messages to ensure that they all are in sync.
That brings us to the last trend that we have today. And it says here that the information world is becoming more cluttered, more crowded, and it will become harder to fight for space and attention. Is there actually anything that we can do about this? It is getting really crowded in the media space out there.
Yes, I think it's going to be a challenge. Everybody has got something to say, so that's why it's getting very loud and noisy. I think the challenge lies then in terms of how do we then customize what we want to say to who we want to say to. And this is where it's very important that we go back to basics to tell the targeted stakeholder that we are targeting the relevant message that they want to hear or they need to hear. So this is where there's a lot of planning required. Don't just put out messages out there. You know, most of it's going to get drowned. But then how do we target those messages for the relevant stakeholders?
But having a lot of these channels, having a lot of these media forms, actually a really good thing, because now I can operate a company in KL and do business in Hong Kong and quite globally. How do you see, do you see this trend moving forward that now it's going to be a global world of very cluttered and very crowded media?
Yes, it's going to be global because, you know, there's really no barriers for communication to move out there. So in the past, for example, most of your listeners, if they are SMEs, they can only sell to Malaysia in the past. It's really hard to sell overseas because, you know, they can't afford to communicate to the outside world. But today, if you build a very strong medium of communication, be it your website, be it your social media channels, be it other digital platforms, it's really open to the global audience. So in that sense, it's huge opportunities for organizations to be able to sell their products outside. So in that sense, there's a lot of opportunity for us to put our messages out there. While it may be a very crowded space, but there will always be an opportunity for us to find in that crowded space, you know, find that sweet spot that we will be able to target.
So that crowded space is both a threat and an opportunity as well, because now you can go globally. So how does a company stand out of the crowd?
I think I don't have an answer for that. In that sense, there's no one size fits all. So I think it's about how do we then identify the opportunity. For example, in my case, you know, in Malaysia, we're a small boutique agency. One of the challenge that I have, for example, to compete with the bigger global agencies was that how do I then globalize my operations? But I will never be able to afford that. Now, this is why, for example, we have recently joined Public Relations Global Network, which is a global global network of of independent owned agencies. So similarly on that platform, maybe the smaller SMEs need to network together, work together, pool resources together to in order for us to be able to stand out. So there's a lot of opportunities to do that. So for example, if we are selling a particular product, why not think about how do we partner our partners along the value chain so that we can offer a better solution? So these are all the creative things that we can do, you know, to disrupt the noise out there.
Mm. Do you see disruption continuing to become one of the biggest things in 2018?
Definitely. I think it will continue to be that way, and you will also see a lot of more disruptions, even in the media platforms, you know, with technology changing every day. And you will see a lot of disruptions.
What word of advice do you have for companies who are right now planning their PR strategies and they've sat down, everyone's in a meeting, if you have an advice for them?
While it's important to plan, but we must always remember that the plans itself got to be fluid, it's got to be progressive, it's got to be a living document. So what I'm going to say is that while we can put in some end goals and some clear milestones, we must be able to also adapt and change quickly, because in today's world, things change so fast. So a plan for a year may be a bit too long. So we've got to have a plan that is very agile and very versatile. So the organization needs to constantly move and change. So we got to adapt and fine-tune our plan as we go along.
That's interesting, because it used to be that we are doing like a one-year plan, a three-year plan, a five-year plan. And while companies should still do that, do you see them maybe needing to consider maybe a quarterly plan and a quarterly milestone that is flexible and movable at the same time?
I think it's going to be...
Or monthly even. Because that's how fast technology is changing right now.
Yeah. I think it also depends on which industry you're operating in. Some industries obviously do not change as fast as some other industries that rely more on technology and so forth. But nevertheless, having said that, in today's disruptive economy, so to speak, we have to have the ability to be able to move and change quickly enough. While what the time frame is, it really depends on which industry you're in. But definitely, you know, we've got to be more flexible. So whatever we plan, while we try to stick as much to the plan, but we must be able to also embrace the changes along the way.
If a company wants to contact Perspective Strategies to want to speak to you further or get to know more of these trends, how can they contact you?
Well, of course, go to my website at www.perspective.com.my or write to me at andy.c@perspective.com.my.
Okay, thank you for joining me in the studio this morning.
Thank you, Majida. It's been a pleasure.
On Resource Centre with me today is Andy C. He is a principal partner and managing director of Perspective Strategies, and we've been talking about important PR trends to look out for the year 2018. If you've missed any part of this interview, you can find this podcast on the BFM app, available right now on the App Store and on Google Play. My name is Majida Hashim for Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.